Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the citizenship test.
So grab your oath of allegiance.
And let's get civical.
Hello.
We're here. You're here. We're all here.
Thank God. If we weren't here, I'd be worried.
If we weren't here, this would be a much different tone of podcast.
Silence, I think, is the word we're looking for. It would just be
That's
silence.
It. There wouldn't be one. But you know what? There is. We're here. Oh my God, this is the worst intro we've ever done.
It really is. So we wasted all of our energy on talking to each other.
I know.
You guys.
We have to stop gabbing. Here, look at the Jimmy Carter plate again.
There. Jimmy! Oh my God.
You guys, I'm going to post this on our Instagram. I've talked about it before. It's my most prized possession that I just refound, but it's a plate and it has all of the presidents on it, all of their faces. And then in the middle, it ends with President Jimmy Carter.
Hell yeah, our boy.
I found it at an antique shop. I bought it for $11. And it, quite frankly, is the only thing that I love that I own. So I just have it in my room here. It brings me so much joy when I look at it. It's currently sitting right next to me. Just in case I need, like, help, I'll just look at Jimmy's eyes. Ooh, it's also hot Jimmy. Like, it's hot young Jimmy in the middle of the plate. So that's just, like, an added bonus. Like, full head of hair, that reddish brownish.
Just off the peanut farm.
Baby blue eyes. Just off the peanut farm. He's tan?
Ooh.
Yeah, he's, like, very tan. Yeah, literally hot. Okay. So sorry. I'll save that for when Jimmy and I are alone. But yeah, we're just having a day. It's, you know what's why it's weird? It's because we're recording at a different time, and this always happens.
I know. It's my fault. I was traveling, and we had to change the time, and it really just does mess with our energy. It's 9:30 on a Monday, not noon on a weekend.
Right. Well, and it doesn't help that, like, you have the capability to live a life before 9:30 a.m., and I don't. I rolled out of bed 20 minutes before this was supposed to be happening and made myself a cup of coffee, and now here we are.
Hey. At least we're both caffeinated. That's the important thing. At least we both have coffee.
That's true. Yeah. I'm fully wearing my pajamas, and that's just what it is.
I am wearing the clothes that I wore yesterday because I did not have the energy to get up and choose out a new outfit when I was traveling this morning. So there is that. I feel like that's a Lizzie Stewart move.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I've been wearing the same 4 shirts in rotation because what?
For all of quarantine?
What am I going to do? Like, put on a button down? Like, what?
For who? Nobody.
For who?
Nobody.
Not for me. That's not what I want.
The virus does not care.
No, the virus isn't like, oh, she's cute. Let me just...
Hop along Gretzky to the other person. All right. Yep.
Yeah. No. But anyways, you guys, it's, you know, it's 9:30 in the morning on a Monday, and we decided we wanted to do something fun and great. So obviously we're talking about the citizenship test.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
I'm so excited. We're going to give you, obviously, information and the history on the test, and then Arden and I are going to quiz each other.
Hells
and
yeah.
We're going to see who should be in this nation.
Oh my goodness.
Who should not. I tried to pick out, one, like, the hardest ones, which are still, I think, on the easier side, but there was, like, one or two where I was like, oh, I might get that wrong.
Yeah.
If I, like, didn't study or didn't, like, brush up on anything.
Right, right, right.
I'd be like, ooh, that one... That's a very specific answer that I would probably get. I would get in the right, like, range.
Right, right.
But wouldn't get it accurate. So.
Accurate. Yeah, I have a few of those, too. There were a couple that I was like, oh, I'm glad I get to ask this So, yeah. So, Lizzie and I are going to ask each other questions. We haven't shared the questions beforehand. So,
nope,
what you'll be hearing is our stupidity or not in real time.
Yep, and this is the honor system.
Yep.
Neither Arden nor I looked at each other's questions, and we're gonna hope for the best.
Yep. But first, we're gonna start off with a little bit of history about the U.S. citizenship test.
Okay.
This is coming from the United States Citizen and Immigration Services, and from CNN, an article by Farida Fauzi. So the naturalization exams date back to the 19th century. But the, quote, exams from the 19th and early 20th centuries are nearly impossible to locate because during those years, judges conducted the exams orally in the courtroom. So they would just, like, ask people random fucking questions.
It's like, what's the Constitution? Who is the president? Like, name any of them. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no, like, rhyme or reason. It was, like, whatever the judge felt like asking. Okay, great.
Yeah, I love that.
Seems fair. Seems
What is my fair. Favorite color?
How do Wrong. I like my tea?
It's taupe.
And lemon and honey. So, quote, prior to 1906, naturalization. This is a really hard word to say, and we're going to have to say it a
naturalization?
Lot.
Naturalization? Yeah, glad you're having to take
it. It is quite a doozy. Prior to 1906, naturalization was under the exclusive jurisdiction of the courts, and at the local level, naturalization procedures varied widely.
Okay, love.
Yes. Different. By city and state, by like even not even city and state, different by like city and village. Because there was no explicit education requirement in naturalization law, some judges simply did not test applicants' knowledge of civics and American history. Okay.
Okay, love.
Okay, great. Other judges believed that the requirement of, quote, attachment to the principles of the Constitution, close quote, part of the naturalization process law since 1802 made it necessary for potential citizens to demonstrate that they understood the Constitution as well as U.S. history and civics generally. So there was, like, this part of the law that said, like, you had to have an attachment to the principles of the Constitution. Nobody was quite sure what that meant. And, like, some judges thought it was, like, okay, we're going to make sure we, like, people, like, do have that, and somehow we're going to ascertain that by asking them random questions. And then other judges were like, no, you seem like a good person, or not. You can stay, or not.
Yeah, I'm, like, on the fence of if I find this type of test necessary or not. I'm kind of just, like, part of me is like, you know, yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Invest a little bit into where you want to become a citizen and have a general understanding. But also it's like, I also don't care. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind about how I feel about this test.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same mind. Like I do think that a country is a country because of the values that it holds in its culture. And, you know, like, you can't just, like, become a French citizen. Like, you do have to, like, there's steps you have to go through. And
do you have to do a test with them?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, but, I'm curious, like, what other countries do.
But I think the thing about taking a test as a way to, like, prove your, quote, attachment to the principles of the Constitution doesn't actually show attachment. It just shows, like, ability to memorize.
Right.
Do you know, like,
exactly
that?
Right.
Yeah, like, that doesn't, it seems like a false, like, almost the better thing to do, which they would never do because it requires so much work, is to, like, write me an essay on what the Constitution means to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, like.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, why is it, like, why the U.S., you know that stupid question where they ask you in job interviews or, like, if you're trying to get into college or a graduate program, and they're like, okay, but why NYU? Do you know? It's like, okay, but why the United States?
Right. That's literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm fine with the test, but I don't think that this should be what makes or breaks somebody getting in. Do you know what I mean?
And usually it's actually, we'll talk about it. It's actually usually not the test. It's the language barrier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
Okay. So, quote, judges quizzed applicants. So this is like going back in the Hamanisha. Judges quizzed applicants about the functions of government, the duties of citizenship, and American history. Judges asked questions in open court, and candidates responded orally. The exams seem to have been impromptu, with the degree of questioning depending on the answers supplied by the applicant. So, like, not only was it dependent on, like, the judge's whim, but also if the applicant said, like, whatever they said, then the question was, like, the next question was a follow-up. Yeah. Thank you for the words. Which, like, just makes it seem like more of a conversation. And on one hand, like, I can see where that is not fair, because then it's not a process that's the same for everybody. But on the other hand, it's like, maybe that was better at understanding why somebody wanted to be here. Or, like, you know, like, maybe it was a
more
better
personal way.
Yeah. But also, could you imagine if that was happening now? Absolutely not. We would have no immigrants.
No.
We would, like.
No. Well, and it also would be, like, so the differences between states and counties and,
yes.
you know, it would be
yeah.
so vastly. It would be unfair.
It would be unfair.
You
it
know?
Would be unfair. So then, quote, in 1906, the Federal Bureau of Naturalization began to oversee and standardize the naturalization process nationally. During its first few years of operation, the Bureau received correspondence from judges, candidates for citizenship, and immigrant aid groups who were concerned about immigrants being denied admission to citizenship due to lack of knowledge about civics and U.S. history. So they, like, started to make it a formal process, and they were like,
"Yeah,
okay, who has stakes in this process? Let's get comments." Mm-hmm. And they literally,
Come on down.
And they did it, like, the right way. They were like, you've applied? Great, let's talk to you. You are, like, advocating for immigrant rights? Okay, great, let's talk to you. Like, they talked to people who were on both sides of it, which I think is really great. So after that, they did all their information gathering from the various groups, quote, in response, the Bureau took measures to develop an educational program to help immigrants learn about civics and history, but it did not move to develop a standardized test or set of testing procedures. So basically, at first, they're like, let's just create an education program.
Got it. Okay, fine.
Good. We're all on board. And then the courts continued to administer the tests as they had before, which was orally and just, like, with little uniformity. So we've got, like, the education piece, like, that's starting to be more regular, but the tests are still, like, not written, and they're still very subject to, like, the whims of the court.
Yep.
So then, quote, even after naturalization examiners began asking civics history questions during preliminary hearings in the 19-teens and 20s, the tests remained oral and examiners maintained discretion to choose the questions. And it wasn't until the 1930s when the Bureau moved to eliminate trick questions, such as, how high is the Bunker Hill Monument? Seems unfair.
Very unfair.
Yeah. So they moved to get rid of those questions from the exam and worked to ensure that questioning would establish the applicant's attachment to the principles of the Constitution rather than the mere ability to memorize facts.
Yep.
So then going back to our naturalization citizenship test. So after 1950, when knowledge of U.S. history and civics finally became an explicit requirement for naturalization, the test remained primarily an oral quiz, with the degree of questioning determined by the applicant's education, background, and interactions with the examiner. So it's, like, starting to be more regular, but they're also like, where did you go to school? Where are you from? Okay, we'll ask you these questions.
Right, yeah.
And so starting to get a little bit dicey and, like, exhibiting even kind of more clear-cut Like, it's beginning to be more clear cut about, like, who's coming in.
Yeah.
Quote, over the first half of the 20th century, the concept of the civics test played a prominent role in the nationalization services history, in part by fostering services citizenship education programs and the development of the federal textbooks on citizenship.
Give me a textbook. Give me the books. Give me the books.
So they moved to, like, so they, like, did all the education stuff, and then it eventually became, like, a standardized test. And we'll talk more about how the tests work down the line when Lizzie and I go to take it. But yeah, so that's your basic overview of the test.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And now let's talk about some statistics.
Yes.
I love it. So, during the last decade, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services welcomed more than 7.2 million naturalized citizens into the fabric of our nation.
Oh.
This is obviously coming from the .gov web.
Yes.
In fiscal year 2018, over 756,000 people were naturalized. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Since 2009, the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services welcomed approximately 620,000 to 780,000 citizens each year during naturalization ceremonies across the United States and around the world. And then in FY18, 73% of all naturalized citizens resided in 10 states in descending order: California, Florida, New York, Texas, New Jersey, Illinois, Massachusetts, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Washington. Those are an interesting...
It's a really, like...
group of states.
It's so... I mean, it also gives you, like... Like, California's very blue, Florida's red going purple, New York is blue, Texas is red turning purple, New Jersey is generally blue, Illinois is generally blue, Massachusetts... You know, it's like...
Yeah.
There's, like, a little bit, there's a pattern, like, and then there's Virginia, but there's... Which
and then there's
is,
Virginia, which I'm like, it's somewhat blue sometimes.
It's still, yeah, it's purpley.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting, like, just seeing those states in order, you're like, oh...
Hmm.
It just gives you a little bit of context.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in FY18, the leading metropolitan areas of residence were New York, New Jersey at 15%, Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim at 7.8%, and Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach at 7.3%. Love that. In FY18, the top countries of origin for naturalization were the following in descending order: Mexico, India, Philippines, Cuba, and the People's Republic of China.
Yeah.
I feel like that checks out. Although the Philippines is, I wouldn't have guessed.
But I mean, I guess I know a fair, actually, I feel like I know either personally or through like acquaintances. A lot of people who are Filipino immigrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. It's just like when it comes to the top countries, it just wouldn't have occurred to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. And then the United States citizen. Oh my God. For me, it's citizenship that I can't
citizenship
say.
Citizenship is a very hard word.
So the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services reports that as of March 2019, the overall national pass rate is 90%.
Which I feel like is pretty good.
Let's go. Let's look. We love it. We love to see it.
It's a solid A minus.
It is an A minus. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
We love an A minus.
So this next part is about the benefits and responsibilities of attaining U.S. citizenship. So again, this is coming from the United States Customs and Immigration Service. It's chapter 2 of their book on naturalization processes. Here are what they say are the benefits. The Constitution and laws of the United States give many rights to both citizens and non-citizens living in the United States. However, some rights are only for citizens, such as, quote, voting. Only U.S. citizens can vote in federal elections. Most states also restrict the right to vote in most elections to U.S. citizens. Okay.
Yep.
That actually makes sense to me. Quote, bringing family members to the United States. Citizens generally get priority when petitioning to bring family members permanently to this country. Okay.
Yep.
The third one, quote, obtaining citizenship for children born abroad. In most cases, a child born abroad to a U.S. citizen is automatically a U.S. citizen.
Is this the Ted Cruz thing?
Yes, this is the Ted Cruz thing. I forget which parent it is. I think it was his mother. Yeah.
God.
Number four, quote, traveling with a U.S. passport. Oh, my God. Such a benefit.
We can't go anywhere anymore.
Can't go anywhere anymore. A U.S. passport allows you to get assistance from the U.S. government when outside the United States. Okay.
The embassies.
Amazing. Number five, becoming eligible for federal jobs. Most jobs with government agencies require U.S. citizenship. Ah, Lizzie, let's go work. Where should we go work?
Oh my God, they will not let me in any building.
They'd be like, not only do you not get the secret codes, you don't even get the codes to the door.
You don't get the doorbell,
no,
honey.
No. You can keep knock, knock, ding, donging on whatever door you want.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
You're not coming in.
No. Number six, becoming an elected official. Many elected offices in this country require U.S. citizenship. Okay.
Yep.
What a benefit. And finally, number seven, quote, showing your patriotism.
Yep.
What a benefit. In addition, becoming a U.S. citizen is a way to demonstrate your commitment to your new country. I mean, yes, because you've affirmed that you've passed the test and you've wanted to do that. And so you're a citizen. And so now by doing that, you can celebrate that you're a citizen, I guess, by definition.
Yes.
That is what you're doing.
Yes. Yes. I show my patriotism every day by simply being who I am.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And now we're going to talk about responsibilities. Hello.
Did you know you had them? I didn't.
I can't wait to read what they are. So to become a U.S. citizen, you must take an oath of allegiance. God, we're so dramatic.
I know.
The oath includes several promises you make when you become a U.S. citizen, including promises to, number one, give up all prior allegiance to any other nation or sovereignty. Sovereignty.
Yes.
Sovereignty.
Yes.
That is a horrible word.
It's
hard. It's like, you know what? The queen over her. I'm over her. It's done. We broke up. Okay. Number two, swear allegiance to the United States. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is like, this is the United States being like, you need to make us Facebook official.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the equivalent.
This is like this is in a new relationship. Like, we're dating.
We're making a Facebook official.
Yeah. 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 We're engaged. We're married. We have a baby. We got a dog.
It's over. Okay. The number three responsibility is to support and defend the Constitution and all the laws of the United States. So that's our responsibility.
Okay, great.
And finally, number four, serve the country when required.
Hmm.
Very vague.
Very vague.
Very vague.
Could be war. Like, could be jury duty.
Is this the draft? Like, what's the...
I think it quite... I think they literally mean the draft. And also, I don't know. I would consider jury duty to be a form of serving the country. Because that shit is time consuming. And they do not pay you. Like, they could literally bankrupt
crazy?
You.
Crazy? I've never been called...
Really? In Kings County?
Never in my life have I been called to serve on jury.
I've been called twice.
Not in Texas, not in New York. Never in my life. I've never gone to be on a jury.
That's quite maddening. I've been called twice. And the first time I was called for jury duty, we should do an episode on jury duty, although it's different by state. But like, I was 24, 25, maybe even younger than that. And I had no idea how jury duty worked because I never remember anybody in my family. I didn't know anybody who got called for it when I lived in Ohio. And then when I got called for it in New York, I was like, okay, a couple days and like, whatever. And then when I got there, they were like, no, you have to be ready to serve for 2 weeks. And I was working like hourly, like low bullshit hourly wage jobs at the time. And I was like, I can't. I will have no money. And they were like, that's not our problem. And I was like, I hate this system. Mm-hmm. I hate this system. Like, I'm all for like doing your duty as a citizen and whatever, but not if it's going to leave me with a negative bank account.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was so stressful. It was so stressful.
Okay. Back to citizenship. The United States Customs and Immigration Service also says this of the responsibilities of citizenship. And I quote, U.S. citizens have many responsibilities other than the ones mentioned in the oath. Citizens have a responsibility to participate in the political process by registering and voting in elections. Serving on a jury is another responsibility of citizenship. Finally, America becomes stronger when all of its citizens respect the different opinions, cultures, ethnic groups, and religions found in this country. If only that were true.
Yeah.
Of U.S. Tolerance for differences is also a responsibility of citizenship. Can you believe it? Quote, when you decide to become a U.S. citizen, you should be willing to fulfill the responsibilities of citizenship. We hope you will honor and respect the freedoms and opportunities citizenship gives you. At the same time, we hope you become an active member of your community. It is by participating in your community that you truly become American.
Which is like a nice idea. Like what they're saying is like,
sure.
Be an active member of society, which is like, yeah, great.
You know I love voting. Everybody vote. It's my favorite thing in the world.
And she does it every day. I'm kidding.
I do it all. I'm just all constantly voting.
Constantly voting. I mean, they're like really nice sentiments. It's, you know.
For sure.
For sure. I mean, they're good ideals to have and to strive for.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, the people who are born in this country are not necessarily upholding these responsibilities.
Oh, no. That doesn't apply to all of us, and we all do are successful at it in various ways and degrees at different points in our life and different points of the day.
Yes, but exactly right.
I think if we're going to expect this of people who are coming into our country, we should expect it of our own naturally born citizens.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's talk about the test, the citizenship test. The test is part of the naturalization process for foreign citizens or nationals who wish to have United States citizenship. You are eligible. I should say this is all coming from the same United States Customs and Immigration Service. You are eligible for naturalization if you are 1, 18 years old or older at the time you apply for naturalization. 2, are a lawful permanent resident, meaning you have a green card. 3, demonstrate continuous permanent residence in the United States for at least 5 years. In some cases, this may be 3 if you are married to a U.S. citizen. 4, show that you have been physically present in the United States for 30 months, or in some cases, 18 months if you're married to a U.S. citizen. And last but not least, show that you have lived for at least 3 months in the state or Customs and Immigration Service district where you claim residence. So basically, like, you have to show us that you're dedicated to being here. You have to be, like, you can't be bebopping around. You gotta put roots down somewhere. Like, show us that you care.
Right.
Is basically, like, what they're saying. In addition to taking the citizenship tests, applicants also must demonstrate knowledge of the English language. Quote, during an interview, a United States Customs Immigration Service officer will test the applicant's ability to read, write, and speak English, and the applicant's ability or the applicant's knowledge of civics. Many times the reason the applicants fail the naturalization test is that they cannot answer the interview questions in English. Passing both portions of this interview, the test, and the command of English, applicants must be, quote, willing to support and defend the United States and its constitution. Applicants declare that their attachment or loyalty to the United States and Constitution when they take the oath of allegiance at the naturalization ceremony. And you don't become a citizen of the United States until after you take the oath of allegiance. So, like, sure. Even when you pass the test and do all that stuff, it's not until you go,
I pledge allegiance.
Yep.
To U.S.
U.S.
Yeah. So the actual civics test is not a multiple choice test. During the naturalization interview, a United States Customs and Immigration Service officer will ask you up to 10 questions from a list of 100 questions in English. You must answer correctly 6 of the 10 questions to pass the civics test.
Yep.
Certain applicants, because of age and time as a permanent resident, are exempt from the English requirements for naturalization and may take the civics test in the language of their choice.
Okay, great. Great.
Okay, fine.
Yep.
Is now the test?
Now is the test.
Okay.
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 So here's what we're going to do. So I'm asking questions 1 through 10 from the practice test that the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services has on their website. They have it as a multiple choice test on the website. To make it as real as possible, have only taken the questions.
Okay.
And we'll see how it goes.
Great.
So here are the first 10 from that test. Okay.
I'm already Lizzie, so
question
stressed.
One. Yes. I know. It's so stressful. It's so stressful. Question one. Who signs bills to become laws?
Okay, great. The president.
Yes. Okay. Question two. How old do citizens have to be to vote for president?
Okay, great. 18.
Yeah. Question three, name one branch or part of the government.
The executive branch.
Yeah. I think what they had.
Does that not count?
No, it counts. That counts. Executive, president. Yeah.
What? Oh. Sorry.
I know.
I heard, like, branch.
Yes. Yes. No, you got it. You got it.
This is why this is oral. Because we can keep up. I would accept executive.
I would accept executive.
If they were looking for president. Like, come on. Yeah. Executive is more impressive to know. This is me. Bargaining with the immigration
with the
officer.
Customs and Customs.
Like, come on.
Come on, just let me in.
Come on, knock, knock, ding, dong.
My ID is real. It's not fake. Let me in.
Yes.
Question four. Why does the flag have 13 stripes?
Because of the 13 colonies.
Yeah, baby. Question five. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence?
Thomas Jefferson.
Yes, honey.
Okay, question. Great. Halfway through.
If you pass this one, you're a citizen.
Yay. Okay. Here's my citizenship question.
Okay. Number six. If both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president, honey?
The Speaker of the House.
Yes.
Nancy. Yes. I passed. I'm a citizen. Okay, but let's
keep going.
Give me
I feel 10. Like that's. I feel like that's a very fitting question for you to gain your citizenship on.
Right. In these times, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, question seven.
Okay.
And this one was like a multiple choice test or a multiple choice that had like a D answer that was like all of the above. So okay. Name some. So I chose the answers from this. So I'll hear about this. I'll give you the multiple choice answers and you can choose.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? So why? Because it's a bit open-ended. Why did the colonists fight the British? A, they didn't have self-government. B, the British stayed in their houses. C, they didn't like high taxes. D, all of the above.
I think all of the above.
It's all of the above. Yeah.
It's all of the above. I'd say the British were being dicks.
Yeah.
And they were coming in and they were taxing shit.
Yep.
And they were being like, hey, I'm going to come in your house. Knock, knock, ding, dong. This is mine now. And they were being very unfair.
They were very
unfair. I would nail this question. The immigrant officer would be like, yeah. No, sure. Absolutely.
Lizzie Stewart hates the British. Check.
I would just say they're being dicks and they look at their paper and go, yes.
Assholes through and through. Okay.
Assholes. Okay.
Question eight.
Great.
There were 13 original states. Name three.
Okay. Virginia. Mm-hmm. Obviously. New York.
Yep.
And let's say Delaware.
Ding, ding, ding. Correct.
Great.
Question nine. Why do some states have more representatives than other states?
Because of the House of Representatives. They have bigger populations.
That's it. That's the key word. Difference in populations.
Populations. Okay. Last question.
Last question. You're 9 for 9 so far. Here's your last question. What is the name of the national anthem?
The Star-Spangled Banner.
Yes! 10 out of 10!
Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay, wait. Here's a fun fact from CNN from our friend Farida Fauzi. This is a fun fact from an article that she wrote, and I just thought it was hilarious. Fun fact, the Star-Spangled Banner was written by Francis Scott Key. It was originally called Defense of Fort Henry.
Mahenry?
Mahenry.
Mahenry.
And I was like, yeah, that doesn't inspire.
Oh, no, that's not.
Patriotism.
Okay. And now, singing the defense of support Mahenry is Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Defense Lady Gaga.
Of Fort Mahenry by Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for your questions?
I am so stressed.
I pulled mine from the literal, like, United States Customs and Immigration Services. Like, they, like, give 100 questions, but I scrolled down so we hopefully would avoid any crossover. Did. But mine are, like, more history-based, which I love.
Oh, my God, I'm going to fail.
I think you'll be great. I'm gonna do 10,
okay.
And then I'm going to ask one that I think I would get wrong, and I'm curious if you would get it right.
Oh, okay. God, okay. This is so stressful. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm going to give you the 10 that aren't that. Okay, ready?
Hit me.
So, what territory did the United States buy from France in 1803?
Louisiana?
Yes.
Great.
The Louisiana Territory. Yes.
Great.
Number two. Oh, this one actually is hard. I would get this wrong, but we'll see. How many amendments does the Constitution have?
27?
Yeah. Oh
really?
God.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh.
That would be one where, like, I would get, like, I would be like you. I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to start counting them up.
I feel like, all right, yeah, there's 10 one, right off the top of the one. Bat.
That was a hard one. Okay. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s.
In the 1800s. The War of 1812?
Yes. The options are the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, and the Spanish-American War.
Yeah,
those are
great.
All options.
Great.
Okay. We elect a U.S. senator for how many years?
6.
Yeah. This one is just for me. Okay, question number 5.
Okay.
Who was president during World War I?
Oh, my God. The one, the only, the hatred of your eye, Woodrow Wilson.
correct. Okay. Number 6. This is your citizenship question.
Okay. I can't fail it.
Name 2 cabinet level positions.
Secretary of the Interior.
Love.
Secretary of State.
Perfect. Brilliant.
Perfect. Citizen.
You're a citizen.
Great.
This is an interesting question that I was surprised was on here, so that's why I put it here. Name 1 American Indian tribe in the United States.
Lenape. Iroquois.
Yes. Yes, it's all. They give I was just reading through the list. And then in a parentheses, it says the officers will be supplied with a list of federally recognized American Indian tribes. So I wonder if it
changes,
you know.
Oh, maybe. Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. But accepted. Yes.
Yay.
That's
such a great question.
I know. I was like, this is great. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel like
we should recognize the Indians here.
Absolutely, we should recognize. I also feel like let's pepper in some questions about Black history, some questions
absolutely.
About women. Like,
women.
Let's pepper it.
Here's a fun question. Which is question number, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one power of the federal government? So not the states, but the federal. That the states can't do. You got it. You got it. Don't overthink it.
Oh, declare war.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
So The options are to print money, declare war, to create an army, and to make treaties.
Got it. Yep. That is all.
Yeah. I was like, you just needed to breathe with it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I was like,
it will come to me.
Okay. This is question 9, which, again, is a really interesting question that's on here, but it's on here. When is the last day you can send in federal income tax form? AKA, when are your taxes due?
Oh, April 15th, usually.
Yeah, that's true. And when it's a non-corona year, it's April 15th.
Non-corona year, April 15th.
And then number 10, what is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? We just went over it. Responsibility.
To vote. To vote? Oh, okay, great.
Yep. They gave 2 options, to serve on a jury or to vote in a federal election.
Ah, bless.
We love it.
Love it.
And then for a bonus, when was the Constitution written? What year was it written?
Written? 1787.
Damn, I would have guessed 89.
Oh, really?
I was like, yeah, I would have guessed 89. If I had to do it right now.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
So you got it. You passed.
Yay!
But those are pretty good. I mean, isn't that crazy? The history questions?
The history questions are really wow. Yeah.
I know, right? I'm so glad that we had 2 different vibes. Yours was the structure and mine was the history.
Yeah.
Because both of those are on the test. Both of those types. Because they have 100 questions they can choose from.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's insane. It's also the seeing the multiple choice part of it, I was like, oh yes, this is it just makes it easier. And then having off the top of your head to be what's a federal responsibility that states don't have, you know,
yeah, that you just need a second.
I needed a second. I was like, oh no, it's this.
But that's why I guess it's the benefit of it being oral. It's okay, let me think about this.
Yeah.
You know, and if the person's not an ass, they'd be like, can you be more specific? And you'd be
right, exactly.
You can talk your way into it.
Yep.
So congratulations. Yep. You passed Thank the test. You. Flying you colors. Too. Perfect Congrats. Score. Thank you. You too. That would have been so horrific.
If we had been like,
if we
wow.
fucked this up. Yeah. Look. Look, we came at it easy breezy. You did great. You knew too. 27 amendments. I probably would have got, I would have guessed 24. No, I wouldn't, because I know that there's a 23. I would have gotten there. I just would have taken
You would have gotten there. You would have gotten there. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not when I would be like, ba ba ba. I would be like, wait, okay, hold on. Let's just go through it. Let's just go through them.
Rattle them off.
Hold on. Hold on. But yeah. But that is the citizenship test, honey.
Yes.
We are obviously so thrilled to be citizens of the United States officially now that we've gotten 6 questions right. It's a thrill. Maybe one day I'll be called for jury duty. We'll see.
Oh, you just wait. They're going to call your ass to jury
duty.
They're
going to be like, hold on. Let me just. They're going to call me right now. They're going to call me in the middle of this pandemic and be like, girl. It's your time.
I bet your name was like in the hopper and then Corona hit and they're like, you know, we're just going to have to shut these courts down.
Just wait.
That's sure. Yeah, it's coming. Yep.
I do feel that it's coming. But in the meantime, we love you guys so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can rate us. You can review us. You can subscribe to us. We love you so, so much. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.